Hello, you're listening to Spoiler-Filled Film Conversation Hooray, or just Spoiler-Filled, if you like. Here is the podcast.
To differentiate ourselves from other podcasts, I'd say we're Welsh. That's all I got. We're like a regular podcast about films. Who else is here other than me? I am Richard Nicholas. Who are you?
Oh, I'm Oliver, the slumming mathematician.
Slumming mathematician. He's coming down to a film geek level for us from his PhD mountain in maths land. Thanks a lot. Who's laughing over there?
It's Bane. How's it going?
Oh, okay. So we picked a doozy of a film this week. It's a war soccer come football movie, depending on what part of the world you're from. A war soccer movie, and it's an escape movie. How would you guys set it up? What kind of genre is this?
You nailed it earlier. Do it again.
What, the World War II Prisoner of War Escape football movie?
The World War II Prisoner of War Escape football movie.
Or soccer movie.
To
be global, to be international. Soccer movie.
Oh, it feels wrong. So, Abby, who is in this? Who made it? What was it done for and by and all that stuff?
It's from 1981. It was directed by John Huston, who also made The Maltese Falcon.
I can't see a link between those two.
No, neither can I. And it stars Michael Caine and Sylvester Stallone, along with Max von Sydow and Daniel Massey.
Who's Sylvester Stallone?
You're Sylvester Stallone.
Is that cat from the Warner Brothers cartoon?
Could be.
No, wait, I remember. It's the guy from Rocky. Rocky, him. He's in it. And the man who has the mini adventure in Italy and steals gold. Him. Those two. I know them. I'm on the page where we are. The movie we saw, Escape to Victory, guys. It was Ollie's idea to watch this, is that right?
Yes, it was my idea.
And you had seen it a few times, what, on TV or...?
Yes, on television and on DVD and at various points where I've been trapped in a room.
Yeah, back when you had to watch whatever was on TV, you sat there and you just watched it.
Mm. Yes, indeed. And so did she.
This was even pre-Sky.
It was just...
Just probably channel 3, I'm going to go with.
Yes,
or on a Sunday.
Maybe BBC 2.
But we watched it again fairly recently, and I hadn't seen it before. I didn't even know Stallone and Michael Caine were in a movie together. And I'm so glad that it was a movie about escaping to victory. a camp. It doesn't quite make sense as an idea, and yet it seems perfect as a sort of British let's do over the Nazis kind of thing.
Well, it is based on a true story, so nobody came up with this.
This is a true story.
Based on a true story about some Hungarian prisoners of war who played football with their guards, and then instead of getting the escape they promised, well, they got something else.
Was it not a pat on the back and a extra portion of rations?
No, it wasn't.
It was something far worse.
Far, far worse.
So, but this, so I didn't realise that. I thought it was just like it doesn't sound plausible, you know, the Nazis played, well, we should talk about the film and then we'll get to what the film's about. It's obviously about playing a football match against some Nazis, but...
It's not really analogous to the true story anyway, because the Allied prisoners in this movie aren't playing for being released from their camp. They're just playing because events
Something
have escalated and they've got no choice anymore.
Yeah, it starts off as just Michael Caine, who is an ex... Michael Caine plays... it's basically set in a...
Let me...
Oh, please do.
Michael Caine plays Captain John Colby.
Right.
Who gets to speaking to Max von Sydow, who's Major Karl von Steiner of the Germans.
Right.
It turns out they both played professional football before the war,
yeah,
and met each other once in their footballing career. They had a little bit of nostalgia and decided, why don't we put on a match with our respective teams just for the sake of football?
We're bored. We're in a prisoner of war camp. It's something to do. Kill the time in it. Why not? Good idea. Everyone likes a good game of football of an afternoon, right?
Yeah.
No problems there. But it gets more serious. It starts escalating. Some of the higher-ups think it's an even better idea than Michael Caine and Sydow, is it?
Well, the German higher-ups.
Yeah, the German higher-ups are like, oh, I like football a lot. We should have it as a propaganda. I don't know what accent I'm doing. I'm sorry, German listeners. There aren't any German listeners. But I'm sorry anyway. They think it's a good idea, right? They think, oh, we could use this as propaganda. The Nazi football team give the... initially, was it just English players? Or is it a concentration camp of more?
Well, it's allied.
So it was mostly European.
Well, it was mostly British people because they tended to make their prisoner of war camps
vaguely nationalised.
But it's a little mix. Yeah, because, well, Stallone's American and he plays an American.
Well, he's Canadian.
Oh, he plays a Canadian. Of course he does, because they're one and the same anyway, so it doesn't matter. They're obviously different. It's like if you were to call me English, I'm not. I'm Welsh.
Oh, well.
Shut up.
Goodbye, Germans. Goodbye, Canadians. Goodbye, right. Americans.
Right. So the higher-ups in Germany think it's a good idea for propaganda to have the Nazi football team beat the Allied Forces football team. And then they can all put it in the newspapers and have one up over Churchill or the people, I don't know.
Oh, everybody, Churchill, De Gaulle, yeah. Roosevelt, anybody they want.
So, and then because, you know, the Nazis have to win and look amazing, they want it to be a proper, serious, like, you know, professional Nazi... like, just get the German professionals in and have them whoop the... malnourished allied forces, is that basically...
But Kane does get his own back to an extent, and he looks at the list of who's in various camps and requests certain people to come and be in the team, even though they're not in the camp that he's in when all this started.
So it's an all-star prisoner of war allied team.
Yeah, it kind of... Yeah, there's negotiations, isn't it? They kind of want better rations, they want to have... Michael Caine basically, you know, argues for more...
Gets uniforms and equipment and better rations.
And says, if we're going to do this, let's do it seriously. I want some stuff for my guys and I want it to be a fair fight. What's the point of beating us with just a ragamuffin team? We've got to put together a professional league out of ex-players from proper football teams. So they get people in from other camps, like you say.
And in the course of which he gets into trouble with his own superiors for appearing to... collaborate with the enemy.
Yeah, this is a weird thing about this film. In the camp, there's kind of a headquarters. Everyone's very formal, and it's almost like the British soldiers are left to themselves to organise themselves, and they have a sort of meeting area that organise escapes on a regular basis.
It's quite common for escaping societies to happen in various camps that people will put into.
There's like a HQ of all the TOF higher-ups on the British and Allied forces that organise just various attempts.
It's very common in World War II movie prisoner of war camps.
Yeah. It's very similar in many ways to The Great Escape, which is one of the most famous breakout movies, but this one involves football. But what did you think? The TOF guys who are sort of in charge of all of the British and Allied forces stuff, what did you guys make of them?
The one I noted in particular was Colonel Waldron, played by Daniel Massey, who was terrifically expressionistic and somewhat camp in his mannerisms. He was constantly rolling his eyes at what that scamp Michael Caine was doing.
Yeah, there's very much a kind of British, oh, this is, how dare you go against us and play your silly football match. We should be concentrating on proper escape attempts. Wait, you should turn the football match into an escape attempt. That's what you should do. Now I'm on board. Let's get as many men saved as we can. Let's turn this into an insane escape attempt.
Yeah, they try and get Michael Caine to escape against his will.
Yeah. Well, before that, we see an attempt of an escape from just a regular guy to set up the notion of escaping. Mm. And some guy's trying to cut the wires and make his way out. And
he unfortunately gets caught.
Yeah. Bummer. And then we don't really see any more deaths after that, which is kind of weird. Like, escape movies are usually littered with deaths, aren't they?
Mm.
But this movie, it does that token one to say, look now, people die, okay? But, and then after that, it's kind of got quite a light-hearted tension at times, but a light-hearted mood with no real deaths going on. Would you say that's weird?
I don't think I've seen enough escape movies to really know.
I can only think of two other escape movies. There's The Great Escape, which is littered with deaths.
Yeah.
And
spot that movie now as well. Sort of.
Colditz?
I don't know. I haven't seen Colditz.
What are you basing this on?
Well, all war movies have to have... no, there's loads of things that are escaped that aren't war-based, but, and everyone has... Like, there has to be casualties, otherwise it wouldn't be... People don't buy an escape unless, you know, some people die. I was like, oh, you always get, like, disaster movies, they're often trying to escape the situation, and you're going to go, oh, the ones I like are all the ones that are going to die, just to make me feel worse. And in this, it doesn't really do that, which was kind of weird.
Hmm. Well... I think you're overstating it, since the only example we have is The Great Escape.
No, but I mean, like, disaster movies as a whole. Like...
Oh, yeah, disaster movies. Well, they're disaster movies. Everybody's going to die except for Robert Vaughn.
Yeah. But we have this little HQ of Toph... Toph generals. Is that what I should call them?
Colonel.
Colonels.
Colonel.
What are they even called? I don't know about armies or football. I don't know why we watch this film.
You'll never get a general in a prisoner of war camp because they never go out and fight themselves. They're too senior.
That's true.
But you had a point.
I was just saying, it was quite a little... They had quite an organised team. Like, there's people making falsified documents. I mean, it's that classic, even though we're in a prison, we somehow have the facilities to get you anything you want and sort anything out. We have a forger... We have, you know, people who will get, you know, the right clothes. They're, you know, they've got a whole team providing everything you'll ever need for an escape, despite being guarded 24/7.
You know, strange.
It's weird.
I thought you were going somewhere with this.
Yeah, I'm saying it's weird. is this a weird film thing, or is it something that, you know?
No. I mean, it is probably true, and we get to see it all because it's being demonstrated during Sylvester Stallone's attempt to escape.
Yes. Independently, before he joins the football team.
Yeah, this is the weird thing, is Stallone, the Canadian, is just obsessed with escaping and getting to freedom, and he's sort of initially on just his own personal quest to get out, until he realises there's going to be a way out through the football team.
Which has managed to mess up his own plan anyway.
How did that happen? What...
Because it changed the guards. The guards that he was counting on being there are now guarding the football team. So there was two different guards that...
And now Stallone wants the sloppy guards for him, and he's like, football team.
I'll get you.
So initially, Michael Caine is not a big fan of Stallone cutting in, because they have a little football practice to see who should be on the team, don't they?
Yeah, and he keeps turning him down. He keeps going, yeah, that was all right, and then not taking him on the team.
I could play for you. Does anyone do a Stallone accent? I don't.
I don't think anyone can.
He's not that bad, actually. He's quite articulate for a Stallone.
Yeah, he's quite good in this.
So he's trying to convince Michael Caine there's a place on the team for him, despite not really being a football player. What with him coming from the wrong part of the world, really. Canadians don't play a lot of football, and he's sort of more of a roughhouser, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, eventually, when he does get on the team, it's at the expense of somebody else having to break their arm, just so he can go and dispense some vital information about Paris.
Yeah,
he joins the resistance briefly.
Yeah, this is a strange thing. Because it's called Escape to Victory, you think there's going to be one escape. No. There's going to be three escapes. Stallone is going to do them all. Like, the first... Was he on the team before he tried to escape the first time? Or did he escape and then...
The first time he tried to escape, he wasn't on the team. The second time when he did actually escape, he was on the team, but they let him go to do it because it was important.
Oh, it was part of the bigger plan. So the main plan that they all have eventually... No, wait. Because Michael Caine doesn't realise they're being forced to escape, does he?
No, but probably giving the wrong impression, because Michael Caine is not a collaborator. He just wants to get these extra rations for his men and exploit the situation.
Give them a nicer time. Save some Polish people who are in a like horrible camp and aren't being treated as nice as other prisoners of war.
They're in an extermination camp, more or less.
They're just being forced to work till they die. Yeah. And he thinks, this is let's get the professional players from that camp in. And he says, they're all malnourished and they turn up.
Yeah, they're not even fit enough to play, but
he thinks, let's save them anyway.
Yeah, they...
Subs.
...act like they are fit enough to play so that they stay and don't die.
Yeah. So that's Michael Cole. Michael Cole. Michael Caine's goal is basically to get the team a little bit of a nicer time in the prison. And meanwhile, the Toffs and Stallone are obsessed with escaping and trying to get as many prisoners of war out and back to fight for the king and country. Am I right? That's more or less their plan. And so Stallone is just working for himself, trying to escape, but also with this kind of sub-plan that we will force the football team to escape when they have the match in Germany. Is that... That's essentially the point.
No, it was in Paris.
Oh, in Paris. Yeah, of course it was. Yeah, what am I saying?
So anyway, Stallone has his plan to escape, and then that's botched by the guards moving. Then he joins the football team and escapes to Paris once, gets vital information for the football team and is forced to come back and bring back the information to the football team. So that's his second escape plan. And then he technically escapes twice more.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because the first time, his first escape is basically he sneaks out when the guards are not in the right place. Like, he goes out through the shower, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Climbs through the shower and hightails it through, like, where the guards ain't. And grabs it on the side of a car and just drives out and runs into Paris. Is that...
Yeah.
That's kind of a weird... What was he going to do if he didn't have the side of the car to cling on to? Like, it always seemed a bit... What's your plan here? You're just going to run? I don't understand.
Don't matter. There was a car.
It doesn't matter. It's serendipitous, and he got away.
But anyway, to get back, the football game goes on as planned.
What? In Paris.
They get to half time, is it? And I don't remember the score exactly, but they're only down by one.
But about Stallone's love interest?
Yeah, they set
up. He falls in love off screen, leaves.
Yeah, that kind of thing. He meets the French resistance, and it's kind of like, hello, what should I do? We'll be mysterious, that's what we'll do. And then he falls in love. Like you say, it's hinted to, but it's basically off screen.
So, in one scene, there's the woman he's staying with in the French resistance, and she doesn't like him much. They have a vaguely interesting conversation. Next scene, I have to go back now.
Yeah.
I'll miss you.
I have to go free the football team and tell you guys where, like, find out where you... Because basically the French resistance are needed to help dig a tunnel into the football stadium where the game is happening, into the locker room, where at half time the football team will sneak down the hole and out of the arena and then be free to go about their warring against the world. Yeah. But it's not that straightforward, guys. This is the football element of the match. Football element of the film now.
I don't remember the score exactly, but it was quite close when it was time for them to escape.
They were down quite a lot. No, it wasn't.
I think it was 4-1 at half time. The Germans were not playing fair.
No, it was 3-1. It was 3-1.
3-1 at half time to the Germans.
Who were cheating.
They'd Max von Sydow didn't know this. Major Steiner. And
his superior had told the referees and the players to win at all costs, otherwise Germany would be shamed.
So, and this is kind of an interesting side bit, because Major Steiner, Max von Sydow's character, is never portrayed as anything but an honourable German officer.
Yeah.
He doesn't do the Zukeil either, does he?
No. And kind of his whole life is hanging on the balance with this match as well, because if Germany lose, then we're reasonably sure he's pretty much toast.
Yeah, he's the token good Nazi that has something in the back, like, something to...
But I don't think you can call him a Nazi. You can call him a German.
A German soldier who's caught up in this war business, and he'd much rather just be, you know, a reasonable, fair man. I don't know.
He'd much rather be playing football, to be
honest. what do you guys make of the match itself? We see that, I mean, obviously the Nazis are cheaters, and they get the ref is always like calling fouls against the Allied forces and not, you know, the other way.
All the football players involved that aren't the lead actors are actual genuine football players who play professionally.
Yeah, from all around Europe. I think the most famous one of the bunch is Pele.
Yeah.
The Brazilian football player.
I took down a few names. They don't mean much to me, so I don't know which ones are, like, super famous or not.
Plus, it's from, it's from the 80s as well. Like, I wouldn't even know.
But there was Pele. Bobby Moore, I recognise. Osvaldo Ardil. Paul Van Himpst. Kazeus Dana. Halvor Thorsen. Mike Summerby. I also recognise that name. Coe Prinz, Russell Osman, John Walk, Søren Lindstedt, Kevin O'Callaghan.
And Pelé choreographed the whole football portion of the movie.
Yeah.
It was quite good. It felt very much like they'd played some matches and just filmed it and sort of decided... Like, I guess when he choreographed it, he decided we do this, we do that, yeah, and that'll look good on camera. But it felt very much just like, we've got some good football highlights here, let's sling them together and kind of make sense of them.
And stick a good music set, a music score on top, and
yeah,
off we go.
I haven't seen that many football movies, but it's usually quite commonplace to have just really exciting bits happen all of the way through it, mm, and never really watch a match.
Whereas this was, it was a really reasonable match.
Everyone got their bit to do, whether it was getting fouled, whether it was Terry scoring a goal,
whether it was Pelé getting injured and being and having to be taken off before half time.
Mm. So, you know, did you guys enjoy watching football happen?
Yeah, it was all right. It was, weirdly, it was kind of incidental, even though it was incredibly important.
Yeah, it wasn't the crux of it. It was just kind of the whole thing was just about a bunch of people banding together.
You know, they did it well because Michael Caine didn't stick out as someone who hasn't professionally played football.
Yeah.
And Stallone looked okay as the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they... I forgot to mention that. We forgot to say that Stallone gets made the goalkeeper because he's obviously good at not be a brilliant football player, but he's crucial to the escape now.
Yeah.
So he'll jump about in goal.
Do they have American football in Canada?
What do you mean? Well, yeah.
Just because he'd be more used to handling and catching a ball than he would be to kicking a ball,
I suppose.
I'm not sure. They might even have quite a lot of soccer in Canada. I really can't tell.
Well, if you're listening and you know, like, feel free to Facebook us and let us know, CBC Radio. Anyway, the film. So at halftime, the score is 3-1. The plan is to escape at this point, go into the locker room, which was a point of drama. If they went into the wrong... If the Germans put them in the other locker room, they would have dug a hole under the Germans.
The Germans would be escaping into Paris.
And murdering all the French resistance, presumably. Yeah. But they did, luckily, they did dig the right hole in the right place. And the hole's there. They get to half-time. They're kind of full of adrenaline, and they're annoyed at the Germans for being such dirty cheats.
And for injuring Pelé.
How could they? Poor Dab, he's a proper footballer. We need him.
Yes. But still, as we know from when they came in at half-time, Terry scored a goal.
Yeah.
One of the scored best, a goal!
It's like a group of 10-year-old boys have come in from playing in the yard, and they're elated at how it went. And yeah, it is just that wonderful line that one of them says. They're all very excited, because Terry scored a goal. Oh, you should have seen him, he scored a goal. Oh, brilliant. And then you kicked a ball over there. Oh,
we're not doing too bad, are we?
No, we had a great time. So...
They get underground into the beginnings of the tunnel.
Well, of course they do. Why wouldn't they? Time to escape.
The turn happens.
The turn. Now, is this the major spoiler, or is the end result the major spoiler?
This is the spoiler alert part of the spoiler alert podcast. I mean, you know.
Do you want to tell them the turn, or shall I?
You tell them the turn.
The turn is that a few members of the team think that they should stay and finish the match instead of escaping into Paris.
We can win this.
We can win this. We're already 3-1 down. That's a reasonable score.
We're not doing that badly.
By win, they mean draw. They know they're not going to win.
Draw. They want to win.
They want to win.
No, but they...
You're wrong, Ab. They want to win. They don't want to draw.
But politically, they're never going to win, are they? The referee will never let them win.
Well, yeah, the bigger part of... I mean, they're idiots. First of all, Stallone is the one standing in the hall going, guys...
No, we should get out of here.
We should leave, right? Because we're escaping. If we go back, we won't escape, and we might lose a game of football. Who cares?
And be shot. There are many batteries.
I mean, let's not go back. No, but Terry scored a goal, and they could win. So they go back, obviously, and finish the match off, because they could win. So they go back, they take on the Germans.
Stallone grumbles.
But agrees, because if he doesn't go back, you know, they'll know something's up. So he has to go back. They force his hand after he's already escaped a bunch of times. They sacrifice him for the sake of a football match and say, no, you're coming back, we're playing this.
So that was, win it.
That was his second escape, because technically they did get to a position where they could leave. But he elected to come back again.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Right, so they play the rest of the match, and what do you know if they don't start fighting back and scoring some goals?
Undisputable goals as well. They make sure that these goals will be counted as goals.
Yeah, there's no off the post, was it in, was it not? In.
So eventually we get to 4-3 to the Germans.
Looks like we could actually win this.
And then the Brazilian superstar, who I've never heard of because I don't particularly watch football, but bah, whatever, Pelé comes back.
He's not 100%, but he's coming back because he knows he's got to do this.
And he knows
he's the one.
He knows they could win this.
He knows they could win this. We can win this. We can do it.
Yeah,
Pelé could score a goal.
Pelé could score a goal.
Have you seen him in a World Cup? He's well good. He does. And guess what? If it isn't 4-all, but that's all it is. It only ever gets to a draw, doesn't it?
Yes.
They have a
but
penalty.
But then the crowd goes wild. Oh, we should tell them about the penalty.
The penalty.
Well, did you have a fun fact, Ollie, about Stallone and the penalty?
The trivia for IMDb. Okay. So Stallone, not knowing much about football, was convinced that because he was the biggest star, he should score the winning goal.
Of course he should.
For the Allies and win the game. But, of course, the goalkeeper can't do that, so after several weeks of talking him down, eventually, instead, he stops the Germans from scoring a winning penalty goal and secures the draw.
A good compromise, I think, given the option.
Reasonable.
It's like, yeah, you get your moment to shine, but we're not going to write the goalkeeper scoring. Although, I think in the other football movie, Mean Machine, starring Vinnie Jones and Jason Statham and a bunch of other British actors, I think the goalie does score a goal in that, whether the cons take on the cops, incidentally. Apparently goalies can score sometimes in movies. But Stallone did not get his day to score the goal, but he did save one, hooray. And it's 4-all, and that's it.
And
they don't win. There's no victory.
And the crowd goes wild.
They think it's all over! It is now.
But one of the interesting points about the crowd was when the Germans was, because it was in Paris, there's a lot of Allied people watching, and the commentator, you know, who's doing the German propaganda thing of bigging up the German team, whenever the Germans score a goal, he sort of turns up some artificial applause so that the radio goes out with loud, you know, crowd cheering and stuff.
Whereas the actual crowd in the arena,
they're just like, yeah,
we're
well
behind
done.
The Allies.
Who cares? Some Germans scored a goal, who cares? Yeah.
Well, they're the subjugated French.
Yeah. But when the British draw, that's a victory, basically. And then the third escape happens, where the whole elated audience, who love a draw at the end of a match,
invade the pitch,
celebrate, pick all the players up, and then, oh, let's just wrap our coats around them and give them different hats and cover up their jerseys, and let's all run out of the stadium quickly before the Nazis know what's going on. And they sort of bomb rush the entrance and all leave, taking the football players with them. Isn't that wonderful?
Monsieur, please have these trousers.
It'd be quite elaborate to watch someone hopping to a pair of trousers. But yeah, they get out free. No one gets caught. At least maybe there'll be an after the credits bit we missed where everyone gets rounded up and executed, but as far as we know, they all are perfectly happy and fine
and fade to red.
Yeah. Oh, we forgot to mention the Gurning Toffs, who are what the
that's why I took down his name.
Go on,
Daniel mention. Massey and his marvellous rolling eyes.
Yeah, the guys who organised the escape, the guys in charge of Escape HQ.
The two top officers, that's the colonel and probably a major.
Yeah, they're at the game watching it because
they've been forced to.
Why not? Who wouldn't mind a day out watching the team lose?
It's seen as collaboration, so they didn't really want to go.
But I'm sure they were happy to monitor the escape. And then were really surprised when not only did they not escape at half-time, but came on to the draw. And they spent most of the match being cut to just pulling gurning faces and...
good grief.
Oh, good Lord. Carrying on.
More eyes were rolled to the heavens than in a single episode of Sesame Street.
That's a lot of eyes.
All rolling. Yeah, I thought we couldn't let it go without mentioning those guys because they provided us with some very funny faces.
It helps to break up the football sequence as well, which is actually quite good. I mean, if you don't like football, and I don't like football, it's kind of surprising that you don't really mind the football sequence.
Yeah, it's not the same as sitting through a whole match. It's just the way. I should watch all football matches in film edited, just film edited to be good. In fact, they should instead of a football tournament every year in Britain, we should have just the edited highlights in a 90-minute movie where we just see all of the teams do all the good bits. I reckon that would be what I would say. But we're not here to slag off football at all. I'm here to celebrate it. and so the day. Like you said, they face to red, they have escaped, they technically, it should be called escape to draw or something, but that's not so catchy. And there's a moral victory, isn't there, guys?
There is.
Well, overall, they do escape, and then the Allies win the war. So, kind of, it is an escape to victory.
I don't think the football match was that significant in the winning the war, though.
No, but that's kind of...
It was a vicious blow to the morale of the Germans.
It's actually known as victory in North America, and not escaped victory. And of course, over there, Stallone is the top credited person. Whereas I suspect in the British version, Michael Caine.
Yeah,
is top billed.
It felt very much like one of Michael Caine's movies, that the kind of feel good movies he made, like The Italian Job, where it's just a mob of British guys trying to
a motley crew
coming together. And if in The Italian Job, they're doing over the Italians and stealing their gold and driving off in their football van and coach. And in this, it was very much a motley crew coming together to beat the Nazis. It felt very similar in tone to The Italian Job. I felt that kind of Michael Caine feel-good movie. But what do you guys, to sum up, what would you say about this film?
It's an enjoyable romp. I liked it. It wasn't too football-y. It wasn't too prison-y. It wasn't too escapey.
It wasn't very morbid, considering it could have been.
So it's good. I would recommend it to most people. Although...
Take it with a pinch of salt, though.
Yeah. Don't take it seriously at any point. And suspend your disbelief nice and high for the turn.
Solly, what did you think?
I thought it was quite good. It was well balanced. The tone was nice. Overall, it was a nice thing. You kind of believed for a moment that they might win, but of course they weren't going to. Of course, Terry scored a goal. Terry scored a goal. And it was a good... I liked it. I've always liked this movie. And even Stallone was good.
Yeah, even the football players did a convincing job of being soldiers who play football. So, yeah, I it's fine. It's enjoyable. Check it out. Or don't. That was Escape to Victory. This has been Spoiler Alert.
Do we give scores?
Oh, we could do. Do you want to give a score? Goals in goals.
But there's no upper limit for goals.
Oh, yeah.
How about just kind of, you know, that 4-0 is an amazing movie. 3-2 is...
I like this. 3-0.
3-0 to film.
Yes.
Over... good film, 3. Bad film, 0. I don't know. No, you can't score like this.
No,
can you
can't. 4-0 to the movie is an incredible movie.
Yeah.
And 4-0 against the movie.
So anything in between is...
Yeah, so 2-2 is middle. 2-1 down is a bit bad.
Got you.
Yeah.
So, Ollie, what's your football score out of whatever?
I think it's 4-1. I don't know why there's a 1, but I think that's quite a good score.
It's the turn. 1 is the turn.
1 is the turn. And there's a slightly long stretched out bit in the middle where Stallone is escaping.
I'm going to say it is 3-2. 3 parts good, 2 parts cheesy and silly, but it still gets the victory. And that's, I don't know, this is a weird way to score films.
I like it. I mean, it's more often.
I think we should do this. This should be done every time where you score the movie in the theme of the movie.
Right. So.
But you were wrapping up.
Yeah. This is the end of Spoiler Alert. I've been Richard Nicholas.
I've been Bane.
And I've been the cheesemonger.
Goodbye.
Bye.